Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Once again, indeed. Well, here we are, and good morning. It's Thursday, August 25th. And when I say, here we are, and once again, this is an all-new experience for me and those of you watching on the stream, which I'm not, because, and I'll tell you why in just a second here, but obviously not in the Lake Wissota studios. I have made my way to the Civic Media corporate behemoth, not far from our state capital, but in being at the Capitol studio, it means that I'm using a whole different setup, a whole different studio, and that the computer that I'm looking at right now has been completely hijacked by the young man in a room down the hall from me, our producer, Luke Mathers, who is monkeying around. He's got control of this. So you hear me like it's any other radio show. Luke right now is just putting things on my screen willy-nilly, and I'm going to completely lose track.
My apologies.
I have a whole new appreciation now, having seen your workspace, that at first I envisioned it to be, you know, just the corner of an otherwise palatial studio. I expected, you know, like its own dining area with silver flatware. You are quite literally in a broom closet. I have seen the couple of brooms there, and the room that I'm in down the hall, not that much bigger, but it's radio. All you need is a microphone, right?
Exactly. It's from what I've heard, there's been some horror stories shared to me. This is the only we previously had a different studio not too far from here in Madison that was pretty nice still. It was in a corporate office building, had some nice windows, and it was smaller. So it was even smaller than what we got now. But if you can believe it, there was some horror stories of I heard of three large men because, well, Two and a half large men, I guess. Brian and Mike Crute are both big guys, and Dom all had to share a studio size about what I'm in right now when they first started doing the show together.
Now that's a middle school gym locker room right there, if you catch what I'm talking about. Coming up on the program today, Assembly candidate Kristen Conway from the 85th District will join us from Schofield. Kate Beaton-Felton from Eau Claire is going to join us to talk about that city's ordinance banning so-called conversion therapy for kids and gender identity and sexual preference, something La Crosse is considering, but a right-wing group is threatening to take the city to court, so we'll hear about Eau Claire's experience. And Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national correspondent, is going to join us from Los Angeles. I'm sure he did not make it over to Dodger Stadium since he's much more of a Philadelphia fan himself originally. Had he gone, he would have seen something I'm glad I didn't see. I was driving down last night. Once I saw how the game was going, I did not even bother to try to put it on the radio. And by the time I got to Madison, the Brewers had lost to the Dodgers 12-6. Adrian Hauser made his first start back after 2 months off. Promptly gave up four runs in the first inning. And in fact, overall, there were four multi-run innings by three of the Brewer pitchers, wiping out the six runs that came from the Brewers, courtesy of hot bats from Willy Adames and Hunter Renfro. But 12-6 was the loss. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Dodgers, just as they had dropped 2 of 3 to the Cubs. Now they play the Cubs again, this time at home. They have today off, and then they play the Cubs at American Family Field Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then 3 against the Pirates. And remember yesterday I said they have to win all 6 of those games against the Cubs and Pirates, and you said, well, about 5-1. 5-1 should be fine. It's no longer fine. They have to sweep these next 6 games. That's it.
Yeah, these next 6 are going to be pretty critical. I think the fact that it's frustrating to see that they blank the Dodgers in the first game, and right, then all of a sudden they give up 10 and then 12. It's like, what? It's perplexing. It's upsetting to watch, and let's hope today's good day of rest is gonna do them well for the upcoming stretch that they should be able to take care of business in. The bottom of the division's coming to town.
Yeah.
You're playing in front of a home crowd. Like, let's get it done, crew.
Yeah, there are no excuses. Moving on from here, driving down here, I couldn't help but feel a small sense of rage all the way down about car manufacturers. I love my Jeep. This is my third Jeep Wrangler. I think it's great. It's fun. As I get older now, I can no longer put the soft top back up in about 60 seconds. It now takes roughly a half hour by the time I, you know, climb up on the tailgate many times and move around and get it done. But I get it done, even though my wife then mocks me by pushing a button on her car and the roof goes up and down. But I like it. But one thing I don't like about it, and that I don't like about a lot of cars, is that there's this little thing that says check engine. Check engine. Check engine. Do I look like a guy who can check an engine? I can check that it's there. That's it. And you don't know whether it's Armageddon coming to your vehicle or, as it has been in the past in other vehicles, the gas cap was off, so the check engine light comes on. The technology exists to actually say what it is that is making that little light come on. So when you just give me check engine, I want to check out and see what my next vehicle is going to be. So I made it here in one piece, nothing blown up yet, but there's that whole drive back. And then I'll go to the dealer and say, here, you check the engine. We will take a break, have our first guest, Kristen Conway, assembly candidate, when we come back. You're up north. Welcome back. This is Up North News for Thursday, August 25th. Find us online at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our daily newsletter at the website by clicking newsletter up in the top banner. We are going to talk to a lot of folks who have decided to put themselves out there to run for office. Yesterday, we had four candidates on at once, and I know that our friend Kristen Lyerly wants to do the same with a lot of women who are running for legislative seats in Northeast Wisconsin. And now we're heading dead center of the state to talk to Kristen Conway. She is an alder in Schofield and running in the 85th Assembly District, the Pat Snyder seat, I believe, Kristen, right? Good morning.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Pat Snyder seat.
Okay. Yep. And you're a current alder in Schofield?
I am a current alder in Schofield, which is a city of 2,000 people. Okay. So I won that race with 26 votes total.
See, every vote matters. I'm going to say it like a broken record. Kristen, why don't you tell us a little bit about your bio, your upbringing and what you're doing now, and then we'll get into why you're running.
Sure. So I grew up in central Wisconsin. I grew up in Antigo. Went to school down by Green Bay, moved to Minneapolis for a few years, moved back here to be closer to my family, as many of my Gen Z or Gen X does. So moved back here. I've been working for nonprofits. That's kind of where my passion has been. I worked for a nonprofit here in Wausau. And then like a lot of people, once I had kids, and I had two, after I paid for daycare, I was making $1 an hour. Wow. So we made the decision that I would be a stay-at-home mom. So I did that for 10 years. I had a couple more kids. I've been working part-time on and off for the last probably 15 years, doing what I can to help make ends meet. My husband also works in the nonprofit sector. Ran for office in 2018 and won, so that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's it. For now, I've been still working for nonprofits. I work for the Jewish congregation here, Mount Sinai. And then I do part-time social media kind of at home on the side, contracted for other nonprofits.
What is it that you were seeing around your community that said you'd like to be an alder for Schofield? You'd like to get involved more than most folks do actually run for an office?
Mm-hmm. Just really a need to get involved in local government. So I started by going to the meetings every monthly meetings, where I was literally the only one there. Nobody else ever came, because again, it's Schofield. It's 2,000 people. It's very small, the smallest of beans. So I went to probably six or seven months worth of meetings. And then they had an opening. Someone had moved. So I applied for that with a couple other applicants, and I did not get chosen for that. So I decided at that second that I was going to run. And then I won, which we call here locally, we call that playing a Rosenberg, because that's something that Katie did. So I won that seat.
You could do worse. Yeah, you could do worse than follow Katie Rosenberg's path, you know?
Right, right. She's kind of my mentor here. Uh-huh. So I did that. And then actually my husband was the county board rep here at the same time. He just lost his seat in April. But so he did a stint on the county board, and really just a sense of seeing what's happening around us and wanting to be involved in that.
You mentioned your husband losing a seat in April, and it reminds me that there were elections there for school board in that area and other positions. It has really been a case. I mean, we have watched that area become what was once comfortably Democratic, but this, we're talking back in the days of Dave Obie and Russ Decker and, you know, several others who represented that area. And it has continued to trend Republican, but now it's gone beyond. It's gone beyond to where much of the Republican Party has gone in ways that are, to me, awfully concerning about what they're proposing and what they're opposing when it comes to our public schools, when it comes to, you know, city and county government and such. So having seen that trend, what is it that you're telling your neighbors and telling voters about how they ought to think differently and consider a new direction in who represents them in Madison?
Well, right. And I think one thing that I've been talking about is, you know, government is supposed to function. And, you know, leaders are supposed to work together to solve the big problems. And we're not seeing that. We're not seeing that on a local level. We're not seeing that on a state level. We're not even seeing that on a federal level. You know, government's supposed to be honest and ethical and get stuff done and work together. And it's not happening. It's not happening because we see so many of these, what I call their culture war issues, the non-issues, the bills against trans kids or against, you know, book banning. Those aren't real issues that Americans, Wisconsinites care about. It's just a way to distract us and divide us. And so that we're not focused on the fact that our water isn't, you know, safe to drink or our roads are crumbling. Nope. Let's blame that on the trans kids and let's pass bills about that.
Or the immigrants or any other group that's easy to demonize. There's an interesting intersection in what you just said there about the water and also about trans kids and things. In our next hour, we're going to be talking about the efforts to ban so-called conversion therapy for kids who, you know, believe they are, you know, LGBTQ. And in La Crosse, they're working on the ordinance. It may be challenged in Eau Claire and other cities. It has been passed. As I looked up the information on this, on Wisconsin Public Radio's website, I found a news story from last year that on the same day that the Republican legislature struck down a rule that would have banned conversion therapy, they also struck down a rule that would have provided better regulation of water against PFAS, these industrial compounds. In one fell swoop, they could have taken care of a couple of important issues and decided to sweep both under the rug. I certainly didn't remember that all of that happened on the same day a year ago, so I certainly don't expect most voters do. So I feel like you probably have some educating to do with the voters to let them know what's really happening beyond the pithy sayings and campaign commercials.
Exactly. Exactly. One thing that I've been saying when I'm talking to people at doors is my opponent, if you look at his social media or his, I'm not using air quotes here, his website, there's no stances on anything. Social media is full of giving awards to people and giving, you know, honoring this Boy Scout, which are very important and they're valid. But I just made a post yesterday and said, if you know how many awards your representative has given out, but you don't know it's an abortion, that's a problem. That really is a problem. And, you know, especially in this area where this is a competitive district, you know, a few years ago, it was won by a handful of votes. So I think what my opponent has done is just kind of been quiet, been very, very quiet. And that's, you'll see some ads coming out where I talk about that he doesn't talk about how he votes. And a lot of those things, like you said, are swept under the rug and nobody knows about it. Nobody, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know that they adjourned in March and have been, you know, getting paid since March. You know, just things that you just really learn to not say, not answer questions, not give straight answers. And that's one thing that I've said too. I don't consider myself a politician. I tell the truth. If you ask me what I think about something, I will tell you what I think about it. And if I don't know, I'll tell you, I don't know. I need some more information about that.
Kristen Conway is our guest this hour from Schofield, running for assembly in the 85th district. So you talked about the district being competitive, and when that is the case, yes, I think that that is where the current division inside the Republican Party is quite real. And it has put a lot of people in that party in an uncomfortable position. And the ones who have not completely become acolytes of Donald Trump are trying to lay low as best they can. Now, I can't speak for Representative Pat Snyder, but apparently he doesn't want to speak for himself either. But in so doing, we have to keep in mind that silence is complicity as well. You don't have to be in favor of, for example, you know, Trump taking national secrets and storing them in a closet. But by being silent about it as well, rather than condemning it, you're only helping spread that kind of misinformation. Now, obviously, Kristen, that's at the macro level. But to your point, it's that voters are hearing all this talk about Trump and documents and everything else, and it seems like they need to know whether their local representative condones such behavior, condemns it, and then more importantly, are they going to stand up for the voters in their district, or just as they're doing for these 10 months, collect a paycheck and do nothing?
Right, right. And you know, luckily you can compare that to the Gableman investigation. You know, I listened to an interview on the other AM radio station where he was asked about voter fraud and gave a very non-answer and didn't say that he believed it was there or that he didn't. You know, if anyone were to ask me, I would say, no, there was no widespread voter fraud. Like, that's an answer to a question, not, well, maybe see what the evidence shows. Just give an answer.
Isn't that, it's that simple. So will you get a chance?
It is.
Will you get a chance to do that? We talked to four different candidates in Western Wisconsin yesterday that are having little to no success in having groups or media put together forums, or even sending back questionnaires from some of the Republican candidates when it comes to agreeing to forums or providing answers. What's the situation like there?
Well, I mean, I do have an interview with Wisconsin I next week, which I think, you know, they're doing that for all over the state. So that's not really a local thing. I'm not sure. People keep asking me, are you going to debate him? I keep saying, I don't know. I haven't heard anything. But if you look back to the April election, we had a very partisan race for nonpartisan school board and county boards specifically. And many of the candidates who were supported by the Republican Party just flat out didn't answer their questionnaires. And I was just reading, we have a local reporter who does a lot of good stuff on his own. And he kind of did an analysis. Did that matter to voters? And it really didn't. Even the people that didn't put in any questionnaires, they still won. They didn't answer any questions, but they still won their district.
Yes, they did. And we, again, it's something I noted yesterday, going back to 2010, when local groups of the League of Women Voters were shocked that suddenly they were being painted as, you know, part of, you know, the fake news or fake media, and that Republican candidates were not attending these forums. And so a lot of times these forums were canceled rather than holding them with an empty chair. And it's less shocking now that they've been doing this for more than a decade, but no less reckless. As you noted, it doesn't seem to always matter in the end at the ballot box. But I think that simply means you've got to take your points to more people more often, knock on more doors. If there's not going to be a forum, that's time that you can spend, you know, visiting with more people as well. And so we're going to take a break here. And when we get to the other side, we're going to talk more about what some of those conversations are like at those doors. We'll get into more of the issues that you think a legislature should be proactive on, you know, provided the legislature actually shows up. Again, for folks who don't normally follow this, they gaveled out in late February, and they're not coming back until January, and they're still getting a full-time salary. We'll take a break, have more with Kristen Conway after this. You're up north. It's Thursday morning across Wisconsin, and not from the Lake Wasota studio, but from our Capitol Bureau. This is Pat Whitelow from North News. Kristen Conway joins us this hour, State Assembly candidate in the 85th District and alder from Schofield. And we've been talking a bit about what led her to join the race and try to change the representation in the State Assembly and maybe get a legislature, not just that works for more in Wisconsin, but actually works, that works for a living. Now, again, Kristen, we know that you know, a legislature taking a 10-month break, you know, isn't at the top of mind for most voters. Although, once you make a connection with them and you slide that in at some point, I'm betting you get some double takes from people.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny because my sister is pretty, she follows politics pretty closely. When I said that to her, she was like, what? Why didn't I know that? Mm-hmm. And she said, I follow stuff. I watch news, I listen to it, and I didn't know that. And I said, yeah, unless it's something that is, you know, pointed out, it's not something that it's not pointed in the mainstream news that you see.
Right. So you eventually get to that, but first, you know, there's things that people want to hear about or want to tell you about. So whether you've been at the doors or dinners or other events, what in your mind are the things that are on the minds of most of your voters?
Well, obviously, global inflation and the cost of literally everything has been rising. It's, you know, I've got four kids, so I definitely feel that when I go to the grocery store. That's one thing that everyone is talking about. Education, I think a lot of people are realizing, like, I don't think it's a secret anymore that the agenda for one faction of the government is to defund and privatize education. And I think people are starting to see that and realize that. That's something that a lot of people are talking about. And Roe v. Wade has really come in. Just yesterday, I knocked on somebody's door and, you know, gave my little, hi, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. And she said, I'm voting Democrat because this is BS. She said, you know, this is, I'm not childbearing age anymore, but my kids are, and they don't have a choice anymore. So I'm done. I'm voting Democrat the whole way. And so I reminded her that I was the only pro-choice candidate on the ballot. So,
and it's a trend that we've talked about. We are going to continue to talk about as long as it exists, and it's still existing, that Wisconsin is one of those states that has an immense gender gap between the number of men who are becoming first-time voters and the number of women who are becoming first-time voters. And they're getting involved in large part, not because abortion is their number one issue, but the right to control their own body and for them and their daughters and granddaughters sure is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My son is just, I'm taking him to college tomorrow. He turned 18 and was excited to go register to vote when he turned 18 in March, which, you know, thinking back, I turned 18 in the mid 90s and I don't think I registered to vote right away. It wasn't just on my mind, but it is now, especially this generation. My oldest two are 17 and 18 and they're very comfortable with, you know, people with transgender, and, you know, they have friends who are gay, they have friends who are transgender. And they don't understand, well, why is this suddenly a big deal? And I keep telling them, it's really not. It shouldn't be, but it's being made a big deal. It's being made this issue in order to distract everybody from the crumbling roads and the failing schools. And yeah.
Well, and I think they recognize that a lot of their midterm losses 4 years ago, Scott Walker included, was over bread and butter issues like fixing the damn roads. So instead of doing that, again, because they've put themselves on a 10-month paid vacation, you keep coming back to either social issues or other things that are meant to distract. And of course, the biggest among them is the 2020 election results. as you're talking to folks, especially when you're meeting people for the very first time and knocking doors, so they're not like, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Democratic Party volunteers or anything, to what degree do you still see folks who are believing or suspecting that there was this fraud that didn't exist in 2020?
I'm not seeing that a lot, but again, I'm knocking on very specific doors. Mm-hmm. So I did have a few people who have mentioned, you know, one of my campaign t-shirts says stop giving Gableman money. So I have seen people that have mentioned that, like, why are we giving this guy money still? But again, it's those are the people that I'm choosing to go talk to. I have met a few people who have, you know, started talking about how the election was rigged. And I just say, I disagree with you. Thank you very much. You know, just that's not. I just don't try to engage with that. I'm not seeing it.
No. And again, that's, I mean, not your job to, you know, undo everything that Donald right. Trump has and his, you know, many minions have done, but I did want to get a sense of, you know, the kinds of things you were hearing. So when you talk about to these folks, the importance of voting and that they are a rather specific audience. When I think specific audience, I am thinking of people who either are Democratic voters, they lean Democrats, they're true independents, but they only seem to vote in presidential election years, and they don't recognize the importance of these midterms, which is when we elect a governor, not to mention all the spring elections. I mean, they're people who just vote once every 4 years. Are you running into some of that, and are they understanding more the importance of voting in other elections besides the presidential?
I think so. I really think so. I've mentioned several times, but again, our April elections were really a wake-up call, because I do truly believe that this area, if everybody who was eligible to vote were to vote, would be largely Democratic. I just have that feeling in my heart, because I've lived in this community. I just think it's getting people out there. And I think, you know, my husband, like I said, he lost his election in April. And after looking at the numbers, his opponent got the same number of votes both times, the election he won and the election he lost. The difference was that people didn't turn out to vote for him. So I really think that people are seeing now that it is very important. Local elections do matter. Whoever is in charge of your school board and your county board, those decisions are the not the most important, but they affect your day-to-day lives.
Kristen Conway is our guest, state assembly candidate in the 85th district, joining us from Schofield. And as we talk about those local elections, and again, I want to emphasize these were local elections in April, and yet the amount of outside money that is coming into some of these local races for school board especially, but also for county boards in certain cases, and even city councils, is rather striking. We know how much the rules have been, you know, completely overhauled to the point where they're nearly non-existent. But certainly from my distance out in Chippewa County, it was still noticeable how much outside money and how many outside players were coming in to those local elections around your area. So I've got to think they're going to be hard at work again, outside money coming in to races like yours.
Right, exactly. I think the candidates for school board here raised more money than I have so far. I mean, that's an insane amount of money to raise for a local school board. But what we saw here, at least, was I think there were three candidates that ran together. All of their advertising was together. I don't know if they pooled their money, which is a newer trend. I don't think we've seen that here, at least here, before. But yeah, it is frightening the amount of money that is coming in.
Well, sure. As they run as a block or a team or whatever you want to call it, while technically there's nothing wrong with it, it does tell you what trend we're going in. When it used to be, you know, I'm Kristen Conway, I want to get more involved, so I'm going to run for city council or school board or county board. And now it's blocks getting together, and now it's basically nonpartisan in name only. And I'm bringing this up just to again emphasize that not only are those spring elections becoming more important and unfortunately more partisan, but it only emphasizes the need for people to vote down ballot this year. They will vote for or against Ron Johnson. They will vote for or against Tony Evers. And then, sadly, there is such a drop off down ballot, people that may not vote for Secretary of State, may not vote for State Attorney General, even though those are important roles, and may not vote for their state legislator. And granted, a lot of people couldn't tell you off the top of their head who their state legislator is. But we can debate the merits of that another time. Still, the importance of going down there and learning about the candidates has got to be critical. But I guess, Kristen, now that I've plugged that people come down ballot and vote for your race, I'm going to turn it around on you and say, what are the conversations like when it turns to the race for governor and the race for U.S. Senate? Are people rather motivated or not?
Yeah. I'm getting the sense that it's, you know, everything is so hyper partisan right now, where people are either, it seems to me the most people are one side or the other. I have met a lot of people who are labeled who call themselves independent. They say they vote for a person, not a party. And those people are great to talk to. I really like to have deep conversations with them about why it's important to vote, you know, for me or for Governor Evers, you know, looking at what their issues are. You know, I talked to one gentleman who said he was really concerned about education. And so we talked about how education and how we can't afford to keep funding to two school systems, and how funneling the money into the voucher schools is really hurting our private schools. And so that was an interesting, and again, it's not just myself doing that. It's you know, protecting Governor Evers with his almighty veto pen, who has prevented a lot of, frankly, horrible bills that were passed in the assembly this year that Governor Evers vetoed.
And that will be the platform of what does pass early next year if Tim Michaels were to defeat him. I'm glad you brought up the two school systems. It does not get talked about nearly enough. When once upon a time, maybe your local religious school, private school, what have you, you know, was a local option. But again, much like the local elections, it's now some kind of a unified, you know, force that it has become essentially a second school system that is ripping money away from public schools. And I think, again, that's one of those things where when you get to talk to people at the doors, it really becomes a great opportunity to just have a civics conversation with people there. I think they actually appreciate somebody who cares and has looked into some of these things and can share that information in a conversational manner. I certainly found it one of the most enjoyable parts of being a state senator. And I would think you wouldn't still be doing this if it didn't have its positive moments as a legislative candidate.
Right. You know, and I just did a letter to the editor not that long ago because my opponent said that, yeah, I could look into getting rid of property taxes. Sure. And I felt that was exactly. I know. So I wrote a letter to the editor and said, that's great to say that. And I agree. Our property taxes are too high. But you can't just say that you're going to do that when our property taxes in Wisconsin fund literally everything.
Right.
You know, looking at, and so explaining to people, like, yes, our property taxes are the 10th highest in the nation, but we also get, you know, that's how our schools and our roads are funded in Wisconsin. So you can't do that without looking at an alternate revenue source. You can't just say, I'm going to lower all the property taxes or get rid of it completely. That's really disingenuous. And really, I was so angry about that. Like, yeah, that's great to say during an election, but it's not feasible.
It's great that you didn't let him get away with that, to respond that your response is either, you know, Pat Snyder, what is your plan? What is your plan then to fund the roads and everything else? Or just come right out and say the second half of that you actually would like to, you know, end the property tax and, you know, just strangle and starve the rest of public services and privatize them, you know, take a stand one way or the other. As we start to wrap things up, Kristen, how do people reach you? You want to give a plug for a Facebook page or a website?
Oh, sure. Yeah. My everything is Conway for the 85th. The website is Conway for the 85th.com. That's my Facebook page. I'm on Instagram, the same. I do have a couple of events coming up. I have a trivia event, which I have a weird obsession with some pop culture, like Pearl Jam, for example.
Ah, nice.
So the trivia is going to be partially political and partially my weird obsession with some pop culture. That's coming up. I do have Mandy Wright is hosting and Mayor Rosenberg are hosting a party for me at the end of September. So
excellent.
Yeah, but I, and My Facebook, everything has my platforms right on it because I believe that's honest.
And that's refreshing, actually. Kristen Conway, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
We will be back to wrap up this hour's conversation next. You're up north. No, I really don't when I'm driving. When I have a long drive, a rainy night is my least favorite thing. And I love driving. I do. I married a farm girl from 4 hours across the state, which we did numerous times in our younger years. We lived in Milwaukee, where it was a long drive to the Twin Cities. I've had a daughter move to Idaho, and I love that 18-hour drive. A daughter who had moved to now is in Michigan. I love that 7-hour drive. But the only time I don't like that drive is on a rainy night. So thanks, Luke, for bringing back the PTSD of last night's drive, especially through that Mauston construction area where the lines are not clear as you have to make that little bypass.
Nope.
I want to be as good to the environment as possible, but I want the paint on those roads with those lines to be crystal clear sharp, even on a dark, rainy night. So if you've got to make those white lines out of PFAS, if you've got to make them out of nuclear waste, I don't care. Help us see the lines.
Yeah, that Mauston area is not great to drive through right now.
And it's one of those, and again, this is not a knock on the people who work there, but you know, the planning of it, you know, because there's probably multiple projects going on at once, but there are some projects where you go, how much longer? What's it going to take to wrap this up? Now, sometimes when they do, it's worth it. We were just talking to Kristen Conway in the Schofield area, and that big Wausau interchange is, you know, it's beautiful. It and traffic moves smoothly through it now, but it took a while to get that through. So yeah, it was a bit of a character builder making that drive yesterday, but then getting into, you know, the hotel here, and I'm staying in a different hotel than I normally do. And that's always, you know, fraught with peril, but I'm pleased to say, and I am not being paid to do this, but some time back we signed up to be IHG members because we happen to stay at a particular Holiday Inn Express all the time through my wife's work. So we may as well get the points. And then we got an IHG credit card. So we get more points, which means some of these rooms, you know, we get a big discount on. And I really have to tip my cap to whoever at that particular hotel chain said, above all else, get really good bedding. That's it. I mean, it might be some days the heater, air conditioner, you know, isn't quite up to whatever. There's days, some places where the Wi-Fi is a little skittish. In this particular room, there are no USB ports where you can like recharge your phone, recharge your watch. And they are in a lot of places. So when I realized I didn't have that little white block, you know, that goes on the end of your charger cord. So I had the cord, but I didn't have the block. So I couldn't plug it into an outlet. I was really not happy that there weren't the USBs, but
I can lend you one for tonight. I can lend you a little tonight.
No, I jerry-rigged something. You know, you plug the laptop in. And
you MacGyvered just, it?
Oh, yeah, okay. I MacGyvered it. I did that through the laptop. So, you know, Grandpa wasn't born yesterday, as is clearly evident. But somebody who wasn't born yesterday but was born on this day 16 years ago is my oldest grandson. I became a grandpa 16 years ago today. Yes, I agree. Far too young to become a grandpa. But that I did. And you hear about it all the time, you know, from your own parents when you become a parent, but man, there is nothing like becoming a grandparent for a whole host of reasons, obviously, you know, all the love and affection. And like now the 3-year-old grandson, you know, sees me on the phone and goes, Grandpa, and that's great. But of all the lovely things about becoming a grandparent, one of the most rewarding isn't quite as lovely, and that's grandparent karma. When you watch your kids go through something that they put you through, it's the best. You know, at first you're like, oh, honey, I know. Don't worry. They'll sleep through the night sometime soon. And then you remember how colicky they were. And you just kind of rub your hands and go, see? And of course, that one is a little more innocent. It's when they start to do things like, you know, talk back, or when my grandson first learned sarcasm and started throwing sarcastic things back at my older daughter. And she kind of was like, what is this? Where's this coming from? If she could have looked inside mine and Sherry's heads, she would have seen these little fist pumps that we were making to see.
Yeah. It was only inside your head, Pat. You weren't actually, you know, a little fist pumping it at all when that happened, huh?
Okay, you caught me. I was totally fist pumping on the outside, but that's okay. It is such a joy. And let me tell you one more reason why it is for me. And some of you will vehemently disagree with this, but it's great because we're not all together all the time. So we are much like, my wife and I are both the oldest in our family, and we are also the ones that moved farthest away. As a result, we're not getting all of the daily drama. And when we come home one way or the other, it's, hey, look who's here. It's great. And the same goes where, you know, if I were closer, if my kids weren't as far away as they were. And again, I'd love to see them every day. But, you know, there's definitely something to be said for being the ones who you see with some regularity. I feel terrible for people who almost never get to see their grandkids for whatever reason, for reasons of distance or finances or, you know, family matters. And that breaks my heart. But if you can do what we've been blessed to do, and that is make sure that at least 1 week out of the year, both of our kids and all of the grandkids can get together under one roof someplace, whether it's our house or on a family vacation or something like that, that is a, you know, a blessing beyond belief. The other blessing that I feel I have now with the grandson that turned 16 today and not being right there is not having to teach him to drive, because, you know, my Jeep is a stick shift and I love that. I prefer it. It wasn't the easiest thing to learn back in the day. I didn't learn until I was 22, 23, something like that. But I learned, tried to teach both daughters, and they wanted no part of it. The lessons, I mean, there was tears. It was like, I'm not going to learn it. And so consequently, they never did learn it. Fast forward a few years later, and Sherry gets, you know, her first convertible, and we've had one since. And it's nice. It's sweet. It's a good drive. And first thing each daughter said as they came to visit and see it, hey, can I drive that? And her answer was, no, it's a stick shift. And again, little fist pump, maybe in her head, maybe on the outside. Who's to say? So Mason, if you can hear this, I love you, man. And I will love you more when you learn that stick shift and enjoy driving, but only after putting your mom through all kinds of paces. But when you do, be safe, come visit us, drive through whatever rainy night you have to, so that we can welcome you back to Wisconsin. Happy birthday, buddy. We'll take a break. Back after this, you're up north. Well, I love you.